Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hey parents, we are so glad to have you with us again for podcast number 87 of The Wonder of Parenting, A Brain Science Approach to Parenting. And we're going to start out this show with something that has never happened before. Dr. Michael Gurian wants to offer a correction to something he said in the last podcast. And so after we got done with that, he thought, I think I might have labeled something wrong. So if you heard what he said last time, what he is going to correct has nothing to do really with how well you're raising your kids. You didn't do something bad in the week that's happened. He just wants to change a phrase. Is that right, Michael?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, we were talking about personality last time, and we're actually going to hit on it a bit today with the sensitive son. And I was talking about the big five. We were talking about temperament. I was talking about the big five. And I said narcissism, and what I meant was neuroticism. And so I made a kind of verbal glitch there. So if people go to big five, if anyone after last week hung up and they went on to onto Google, they'll go, I don't see narcissism. So, and they are right. It's neuroticism. So extroversion, neuroticism, agreeableness, conscientious, and openness to experience are the big five. Doesn't mean that there are only five temperaments. There are many, many temperament traits. Those just seem to be five that you see in a lot of people.
Got it.
So neuroticism, not narcissism.
Got it. So people can Google the big five temperaments.
Yeah.
And they'll find that.
Even big five. Even if you put big five into Google, it'll all come up. And I must be humble and apologize for the mistake and say that now Gail makes fun of me because she says I'm a know-it-all, my wife Gail. And now I'm going to tell her I have made 19 mistakes this year.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it used to be 18.
Yes. Well, all right. And then
it's probably 5,000, but
right. And actually, you just made your 20th, and that was to admit to 19 when it was maybe 17. So, you know, you just keep piling them up.
I know.
All right. So, as you mentioned, we're going to move on, and in the vein of something from last week, we talked. We were kind of all over the place around a topic, but it was really about personality. It was about temperaments, and in that case, we were talking about a strong-willed daughter. And we're going to move to a different kind of personality and temperament, I guess, when we talk about this listener's question. And the question goes like this. Hi there. I've been recommended to listen to your podcasts, and they're really helping my husband and me understand our parenting styles. My question is specifically about how we can help our very sensitive, emotional 11-year-old son handle his emotions, especially when his dad, my husband, is involved in the situation. My husband was raised in a very masculine household and doesn't really do emotions, so neither seem to understand where the other's coming from. I really hope you're able to help us, as it's causing a lot of conflict in the family. This is such a good question.
Yeah.
Because you've got both dad and the son are males, they're masculine, and they seem to be expressing that masculinity differently. So I want to back us up a little bit, Michael, and just ask you to give us a working definition of masculinity.
Oh, all right. Masculinity. Well, it would be maleness.
Right.
I talk about a loving, wise, and successful man. You know, that's my definition. Mm-hmm. Or loving, wise, and successful male adult is my definition of a man. And so I see masculinity as a kind of triad. Loving is going to include, you know, compassion, ability to love and be loved, all of that. Wise is going to be critical thinking all the way through to wisdom. And successful is going to be creativity, sense of enterprise, you know, all the skills needed to work well in the world. So that's the direction I go, loving, wise, and successful. And I think that males do loving, wise, and successful in a masculine way. But I don't have a soundbite definition of masculinity itself because I see it as a kind of overarching concept of male development. I don't see it as the sort of limited thing that people, you know, seem to see it as when they talk about toxic masculinity. They have it connected to dominance.
Right.
Well, you know, again, you can see I'm loving, wise, and successful. Maybe there's a time when you have to be dominant, but I don't see that as something built into every, you know, three-year-old boy. They talk about it as stoicism. I definitely think part of being loving, wise, and successful is going to be stoic at times, and we're going to talk about that here. Stoicism for folks is, you know, that I know how to bite off my feelings sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. I don't complain all the time. I don't talk about my feelings all the time, let's say. And when someone else is expressing their feelings, I listen and I don't fall apart myself, so they have to take care of me. I'm there for them. If that's what we mean by stoicism, I would say that's part of masculinity. So all of these things are probably part of masculinity, but I just, to get away from the way it's defined, I define it as a loving, wise, and successful male adult and divide it into that triad.
Good. And I'm sure that as we go throughout the podcast today, we'll be drawing in some insights from brain science and what brain science can contribute to this discussion as well. So let's talk about, you know, part of what mom says here is that her husband was raised in a very masculine home where they don't really do emotions. And yet
yeah,
she's
that's
got
the stoicism that she's
right.
referring to.
And so she's got this sensitive son who does emotions and seems to be having a I'm reading between the lines, but he seems to be having a hard time handling his emotions all the time. So how is it that so talk a little bit about the sensitive son. I know that you recommended a book a few years ago with that same title. What does it mean to be a sensitive son?
Yeah, folks can go. You can go to Saving Our Sons, my latest book. I have some material there on the sensitive boys, and then there is the highly sensitive boy, and also I believe the highly sensitive child. So those are two other books out there. I did not write those, but they're good. And so you get, you know. So what do we mean by a sensitive son? Those books help. These books will help. A sensitive son means something different to everybody. So it's a kind of phrase we're all using. I see the sensitive boy as meaning that one in five that we talk about as a kind of bridge brain male, who if we scan those brains, we see that, like the scans that I show, you know, in our talks or when I go to schools and speak, I'm showing scans, and some of the scans I show are of boys who, even when their brains are in a rest state, the prototypical boy, the four out of five boys, their brain goes to a complete rest state. But in what we call the sensitive boy, or I call the bridge brain, his emotive and memory and even some verbal centers are still active with primary blood flow in the rest state. So his brain looks a little different than the four out of five. And so and a lot of it is around emotion. So a lot of it is around the fact that he's sensitive to what other people are doing with him, and he can lean toward not resilient. He can appear to his parents or to at least one parent as not being resilient because he's so sensitive, right? So someone rolls their eyes at him, he's sensitive to that. Most boys not, but this boy, yes, he's sensitive to that. He's taking in more through his senses, and that's why I call him a bridge brain. His brain is a little bit more like the female brain in that it takes in a lot of facial cues, and it takes in through the senses, visually, auditory. He takes more of this stuff in, and he processes more of it, and he sees people as affecting him or even hurting him or even bullying him. I mean, he can just feel overwhelmed. And then, you know, there are conditions that are sensory anyway. There's highly sensitive kids where it's actually where you can get an IEP for it in school, right? So there's a range of this. So I think this sensitive boy would not be in the IEP range. I think what he is a kind of a bridge brain boy, and at 11, he is processing a lot more feeling and doing it probably with more crying behavior than the dad is comfortable with, and also with more verbalizing of it. And the dad is being really watchful. Of course, the dad is raised the way he was raised. So he was raised, as she describes, as masculine. I think we're going to add on to that, a stoic household where the previous dad, the grandpa, did not allow much emotion, didn't want to hear much crying, didn't want to talk much about feelings. So raised the son. The son has some of that personality himself, this being the dad of the 11-year-old, because he was also raised by his mom, who maybe was, you know, talked to him more about his feelings. But the way he turned out is, I don't want to talk about these feelings. Even if my son's having them, I don't want to talk about them.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And the challenge for him is going to be obviously that he has to become more open to what the son is feeling, because he has a sensitive son, he's going to have problems in his relationship with the son down the line, because his manner with the son, his affect with the son, his inability to adapt, you know, somewhat to his son's feelings, or at least the ability to listen to them and encourage them up to a point, we'll talk about that, that's going to create anger, if it has not already, and the son is going to feel that the signal he is being given by his dad is that he's defective. Mm-hmm. And if he gets that signal, if the son gets that signal for years and years and years at a time, he's not going to be an adult who has a really great relationship with his dad, because he knows he's not defective. So that's something this father has to grapple with. But it doesn't mean the father has to change who he is, because the flip side, or the other side of what he's probably doing, the father, is he's seeing the son and he's trying to say to the son, hey, the world is really tough, which it is, and you can't be so sensitive. You got to be more resilient. So, you know, stop crying and don't waste a day talking about your feelings. Go out and do something. Right? I mean, I'm guessing that's kind of what he's doing, this father. And a bit of that instinct is a good instinct. So it's to try to toughen the son up, because the world is really tough. And what it would be great if this father could do is gain some self-awareness of what's going on, and then be both. Remain the father who, when the son is overly whining, you know, and whining is not really a healthy behavior anyway. So when the son is overly whining, or when the son is being hypersensitive and people really haven't attacked the son, or, you know, any in that category, okay, that's a great time for the father to be saying, wait a minute, you're being way too sensitive to this. Let's reality check that. I don't think that's what so-and-so was doing. I think so-and-so was just kind of putting you in your place because you know, and now you can go put him in his place. That kind of thing I would love to see the father do, and then curtail if he is blanketly not allowing emotion or crying, or if he's really reacting negatively to all emotion and crying, you know, he's got to back off on that. So he needs to find a better middle ground, I think.
Again, I think it's really important for us to understand that both of these expressions are masculine expressions, or can be expressions that men experience in their lives. One might be a bit more stoic, as you said, the dad seems to be, and the son seems to be more emotive, verbally maybe, experientially. It's both they're both masculine. One's not manlier than the other.
Yeah, that's why I stay away from that whole masculinity thing, because being sensitive is also masculine.
Yeah.
You know, it's just all how the culture has decided to define masculine. Like Rilke, you know, Jesus. I mean, these were very sensitive men, and I think were very masculine, but very sensitive. So, yeah, I'm glad you're pointing that out. We just stay away from the whole thing that if it's masculinity, it means you're a stoic, domineering, such and such, and you're not sensitive.
Right.
No, men are very sensitive.
Right. So I want to come back to this because you suggested that he might be the one in five with a bridge brain, which can be skewed a bit more to the emotions and so on. Generally speaking, are the masculine men, boys, do they have a harder time verbally expressing emotions? I know we've said before that sometimes you can ask a boy, what are you feeling? And it could take anywhere from 15 minutes to a couple of days to answer that question. So is there a little bit of a brain difference going on between dad and son?
Yeah, I think so. I think the dad would be more prototypical, more in the 4 out of 5 male. And I think the son is more the 1 out of 5. Now, remember, we want to say to listeners, we don't know these people. We're extrapolating based on these emails and just based on the data. The data shows, not just from me, but from Daniel Amen, from Richard Ayer, from Lori Allen, you know, all these neuroscientists who are looking at the 7.5 billion brains out there and seeing that around 1 in 5 males and around 1 in 5 females appear to be what I have named bridge. So I'm the one who created that name, but other people have other names for it. These exceptions to the rule, these 1 out of 5. And when you scan the brains, you do see a difference in the brains. So if we scan the father's brain and this guy's only 11, yeah, we probably would wait until he moves through puberty, but we could scan it and we look at it and we'd go, yeah, okay. Okay, especially if we can get them both in the rest state, that's when we can see that nice difference, because we'll probably see in the 11-year-old, and again, I want to say I'd rather do it when he's like 15, but we probably will see that he has this blood flow in these centers in the brain, even when his brain is at rest, whereas the dad, when his brain is at rest, I think we're going to see that none of those centers are active. And these are these centers, social emotional, the looping between memory and emotions, memory and amygdala, so hippocampus and amygdala, the bottom of the temporal, you know, lobe where you go, wow, this kid's in a rest state, but he's processing feeling. And then his dad is in a rest state, not processing any feeling. And so those brains are set up differently. I would guess they absolutely are.
And then because the let's say the dad, for example, is more prototypical, generally speaking, does a guy who doesn't process emotions as quickly, say, as women might, do we also have a harder time than listening to someone processing emotions, particularly another male?
Well, yeah, the less your brain is set up to process emotions quickly, instantaneously, the more you actually can become afraid of them. And with dads like this and with people, adults who are, whose brains are built that way, like I'll give you an example. I had some clients many, many years ago. The dad was an engineer. This exact question came up. I mean, this question, by the way, that we're doing today in my 30-some years as a mental health counselor, I've heard this question probably 1,000 times.
Wow.
This is not uncommon
for
families to be set up this way. And this guy that I'm thinking back to was an engineer, and what he was able to understand in therapy was that when his son and his daughter, he had two kids, when they would process emotions, his brain was so unset up for that that it would create an amygdalic response. His amygdala, right, which is kind of a fear center, would actually fill up, and he would become afraid of trying to process those feelings because he wasn't set up for it. And it really stretched his brain. It overstimmed his brain to try to process the, 5, 10, 15 minutes of these kids talking about their emotions and going after him about it. And then, of course, people would complain to him. His wife would complain. She wanted him to be more like her. And you know, it was a difficult situation because he was very, very male brain, what we would call more extreme male. And so they had to come to center. Like, everyone had to understand each other's brains. And the part of what I think actually could help this household, unless they're already doing this, is for this triad, these three, right, to kind of let go of the expectations for the other to be who I want the other to be. So the father will have to let go of the expectation that his son is going to be, quote unquote, like he is, if we're assuming he's pretty stoic and his brain is not set up, you know, to process a heck of a lot of feeling. He's going to have to let go and say, okay, you know, the son gets to be what the son is. And the mom's going to have to let go of the dad. She's going to have to let go and say, okay, you know, he's like that engineer that Gurian talked about, and this is who he is. And so, you know, it overstims him. He's going to need to walk away, then come back an hour later and talk to his son about this stuff, or whatever strategy needs to go there. And if that happens, by the way, I actually think that the father and the mother, because there's conflict, mm-hmm. I think the father and the mother are going to be able to let go. And the father's going to be able to let go of his reactivity to the criticism from the mom, because I'm sure the mom is criticizing him mm-hmm. and saying, you know, you're too hard on that boy. You're not letting him speak. You're not letting him tell you his feelings. You're afraid of his feelings, you know, whatever the things she's saying, because she's frustrated with the dad. You know, all of them have to let go of this and step back and then let each other be who they are. And as they shift, I think that the father can get some help in not overreacting, you know, to the sensitive son. And also as they understand that they can be bi-strategic, that it is okay for, like, the mom to be the one who the boy comes to when he's, you know, feeling a lot of feelings, and the boy doesn't go to his dad. That is okay, you know, as a child is growing up. It's okay. It's bi-strategic parenting. And that's not going to, you know, ruin this kid. And the dad doesn't have to be like the mom. So I just think they're going to have to make some subtle adjustments. I don't think that their core selves are going to have to change.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So what are some strategies then, practical things that dad can do to connect with a son who just processes life differently than he does? For example, does it help for a sensitive boy to go for a walk with dad so that dad is moving and dad's brain's a bit more engaged? And does that help them talk better to each other? Or does it, for a sensitive son who's already good at processing emotions, is that not helpful? What are some good strategies?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that happens is, strategy number one is the father and the son have a conversation about this. And it's fine for father, mother, and son to have a conversation, but there's got to be a conversation between father and son where father takes some ownership of this to son, you know, and says, okay, look, we're built differently. This is how I was raised. I think I'm trying to help you, but I think I'm making some errors. What do you see going on? And they have a mature conversation about this, and so they set some different boundaries around this. And the conversation includes, you know, there may be some things that you don't bring to me. You bring them to your mom, and that's okay. And I'm not going to feel abandoned, and I don't want you to feel abandoned. So that conversation needs to be had, and it may require a number of conversations. Then the second strategy is the dad himself. He's going to, when he feels overstim from this son's emotions, you know, he's gonna have to, number one, try to override that overstim and not react, or number two, he's gonna have to say, I got to step away just for a couple minutes. So rather than reacting against the son's emotions, he just steps away. He gathers himself. Maybe it's 5 minutes. He comes back. That's an okay rhythm. It's not going to harm the son. You know, the son's going to be emoting, and he's going to really want the feedback. But if they've had the conversation, and the father walks away, and he comes back in 5 minutes, that's okay. If the father walks away and he goes to a bar and gets drunk, that's not good. He's got to come back, right? But that is okay, and they'll work that into their system, and then gradually the father would get less overstimmed, and gradually he won't need to have that, you know, that 5 minutes away. So that's that second strategy. Try that for a month or two, see what happens. But predate that with these conversations, and then in terms of basic strategies for evincing emotion from male brain, practice the strategies of walking and talking as opposed to always trying to sit. Don't look each other in the eye when both are very emotional. Don't force eye contact, because that just triggers testosterone and territoriality and all those things. It's okay the kid looks down. It's okay the kid looks away. All those basic strategies will be very useful in trying to get the emotion through. And then I think the fourth thing that honors the mom and honors other people in the system is for the dad to give away some of that power and give it to the mom, you know, and say, okay, I get that I'm not built this way, I'm not as good at that, but that's okay, you are. And so, you know, it's okay for us for this 6 month period, let's try, rather than us fighting all the time, let's try you having that power. And I won't try to impose on my son anymore, you know, that I don't want him to cry and that I don't want him to talk his feet. I'm not going to do that anymore. But I'm going to veer away when he's in a very emotional state and let you have that power with him. I think that's worth trying, because I'm sensing so much conflict in this email. She's saying it causes a lot of conflict. Well, she may be understating it. So, and these things, I've seen it cause a lot of conflict.
Yeah.
And since the dad is not going to be able to change, then the dynamic has to shift and the mutual respect has to shift.
Yeah. You've talked about this before, and you even hinted at it early on in this, how important bi-strategic parenting is.
Yeah.
But that one of the roles that dads tend to play is building resilience in kids. And, you know, just I'm living vicariously through this dad a little bit. Thinking about my kids, thinking about my grandkids, and, you know, wanting them to be emotionally healthy, but not to be constantly crying, but to sort of, sometimes you just want to say, you gotta get up, you gotta buck up, kid. It's, you can't just cry about everything. And so how does dad walk that teaching line? Are there ways for him to sort of know, and I know in relationship, they'll get used to it. How do you talk to a sensitive son about the need once in a while just to stop crying and pull yourself up and get back in the game, so to speak?
Yeah. Well, in Saving Our Sons, I have a whole bunch on this, and any science-oriented parents can see sort of the science of this. You're absolutely right. It's an emotionally healthy child is not a child who cries a lot, right? An emotionally healthy child, or I should say, is not necessarily a child who cries a lot. We have had 20 years of kind of convincing ourselves through pop psychology that if your child is emotionally healthy and has a voice, that means your child will cry all the time, will talk about his or her feelings all the time. That's what emotional health is. But over the last 5 to 10 years, we're seeing a lot of good science saying that common sense was right. You know, what your great-grandparents knew was right. You just can't be a mature person or in this language, be emotionally healthy if you are constantly in a state of emotion. We have to have a give and take in the brain between, you know, and emotion has its place, but so does thought, so does critical thinking, all these other things. So that is a great role for him to be the one who teaches that. And as they have these conversations and they work through this, they'll give him his role, you know, and he'll take his role. And I think part of his role is going to be, especially because this kid's 11 now. So this kid himself, by 12, 13, 14, 15, he is not going to be wanting to have constant hyper emotive reactions to things because he's going to see that it's not functional. He's going to see that he's going to get made fun of, that he's not maturing, you know, and it's be unconscious. He won't have the language for this, but he'll kind of see, well, like, you know, look, those other people, you know, get along with people, but I don't. And I only have these one or two friends, and maybe I am being too sensitive to stuff, you know. So if that's who this boy is, then this father is a gift to this boy, and his flaws earlier are going to become good for this boy in adolescence, since adolescence is the big testing time, and it's, you know, when a lot of these kids can get bullied and they don't fit in. And so you know, people should not hear that I'm saying emotions are bad. Emotions are great. I've spent my life in emotions. I love helping people with emotions, but emotionally healthy has two sides to it. One side is I can speak to you about my feelings. The other side is I know when to end my feelings and act. And I think that dad's going to be more in that category.
And I think we would both recommend that in the next couple of years, once the son's getting around 13, to start looking into a rite of passage program where dad and son can spend some good time together just talking about all things that have to do with growing up to be a good man. And it's a great way for them to bond together and learn about each other's way of filtering the world as well.
Yeah, we need to circle back to the bonding. You know, we said at the start of this that we got to make sure that father-son bond stays strong. And if the father only focuses on this, you know, this kind of negativity, not that that is what he's doing, but if that's what he does, then he'll lose the bond. And the boy really needs his father bonded to him in order to succeed in life. So you're absolutely right. I would love to see these guys go into a rite of passage program. Of course, on wonderofparenting.com, we have a bunch of those. People can look at those specifically set up for fathers and sons to keep bonding through even their crisis moments and to use those as part of growth and development. And I think this boy's pretty close. I think by 12, he ought to be, this father and son ought to look at that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Got to have that bond strong.
Also on wonderofparenting.com is a place for you to submit your questions. And if you do have a question for us, we would love to put that in the queue and tackle it in one of our podcasts. We appreciate so much the questions that you're sending to us. There's also a link to our sponsors, the Center of Place of Hope. Encourage you as always to check them out. And if you feel like it, you might just send them an email to say thanks for sponsoring this podcast and how much you're getting out of it. There are good friends up there as well. Michael, this has been a really good one. I have a hunch we'll probably come back to it in the future because it's such an important topic.
Yep.
And certainly, and we've done some of these already, there's also the overly emotional daughter and how to work with her in those emotions. So those are all these things that parents are wondering about, and we'll keep circling back to these things. So thank you very, very much for your insight again.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
And thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back with you next time.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.